Very warm welcome. I trust that you are all expectant, like mothers, expecting. You know, when I've never been pregnant, despite what the world says today, I don't think I ever will be, but you ladies that have been, at the end of so many months, you expect a child, yes? You expect something. It's the same when we come into church. We should expect God to move in us and through us. Now, I've been speaking about the vine and the branches, and I didn't want to rush it last time, so it spilled over into this session. And there's so much that goes around your mind when you start to look into God's Word. And He's given His Word, and He's given us people to equip us, the saints, for works of service, so that we can be all that He's called us to be, yes? And one of the things that strike me over the years, and when I look back, it's so easy to see how some things can be mismanaged. And do you know what? From my early years of Christian walk, when I used to go into what we would call a meeting and we were expecting God to move, to manifest through the Holy Spirit, to bring healing and wholeness, sometimes those meetings were hijacked by the flesh. And what I believe has happened over the years to many of us, maybe it's me and not you, is we've become disillusioned with the men and women that we see that take the word of God and they use it for their own pleasures. And if we're not careful, we can miss what God is saying to us. See, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, yes? And sometimes we struggle with that because we're saying, me, I am. But you are a child of God, is that true? The Bible says that He gives you good gifts. So let's receive them good gifts. You know, I caveat a lot of things that I say. And when we look through Scripture and we know that God wants to bless His people. But we also know that we're going to go through suffering. Because the Bible tells us so. We will suffer. Trial and tribulation produces character. Character produces hope, and hope won't disappoint. But to get that character, there's trial and tribulation. And sometimes we have to walk through that in order to see God's blessing. Many of you, if not all of us, have experienced times in our life as a Christian where we're going, God, if you don't do something, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, if you don't intervene, this is a hopeless situation. Whether it's a child in your arms that you're saying, Lord, bring about. Whether it's an elderly relative, whether it's finances, whether it's mental, emotional, spiritual, we can come before a heavenly Father and say, Lord, let it be according to your plan and purpose. So the Bible says if we have not because we ask not. Yet on the other hand, we think, well, if we ask, are we being proud? Are we just saying, give me? No, but it's a lifestyle, it's an attitude. I'm building up to what I want to share today. It's an attitude, it's a lifestyle. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we come together, not just to hear someone like me, but to hear God's word, so that it can be alive and active, and it will bring a separation of the good and the bad and the ugly. One of the things that really blesses me when I read the account of the fire, the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, is they've been given an opportunity to escape. You know the story? Nebuchadnezzar said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will spare your lives. And they said, our God is able. Is that right, Jean? Our God is able? Amen. Our God is able. But even if He doesn't, we will not bow down and worship you. And that's the same with our lives when we look at the good, the bad and the indifferent. So that's like a prelude to some of the things I want to say. And I want to bring the end at the beginning because there's no build up and then there's a great revelation. God's word is all revelation. And I'm going to skip the first two scriptures because I read them out last time. I'm going to go straight to John 15, where this is a very familiar portion of scripture to us, I'm sure. If it isn't, then I hope that God will give you eyes to see and ears to hear. I am the true vine, Jesus says. That means there's a false vine. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. God is the one that tends the vineyard. He cuts off, this is Father God, He cuts off in me, this is Christ, that every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And sometimes we can see pruning as a bad thing. But although landscaping was my business and I was very successful at it, I don't really know one end of a plant to the other. All I know is that if you don't want it, you cut it off. But when you are a gardener, when you are good at what you do, you know where to prune and how to prune and when to prune. And God is the gardener, and he knows where to prune, when to prune, and how to prune. And what happens? He cuts things off in our lives. And the title again of this message is the same as the last one, take two. The devil sifts, God prunes. When we look through the Old Testament, there is reference to the olive tree, there's reference to the vineyard, there's reference to the sifting. And there are times where God just shakes his nation. He shakes his nation. It says it's like wheat and chaff. And it says in Amos, I think, it talks about not one stone will fall to the ground. It means the goodness of the seed will remain while the bad, the ugly will be shaken out. But in the New Testament, we talk about a God that will prune us. He doesn't shake us violently. He prunes us. But for me and you, I want us to get to that position, if you're not already there, where you can discern the difference. Because sometimes, as God's children, the enemy will come along and shake us, and we'll think it's God. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord. I love the Lord, so this must be a good thing. But if we identify when Satan is prowling around and when God is pruning, then we'll bear fruit. Because if not, what will happen is we'll just be bruised and we'll be battered and we'll keep on ploughing on because that's the right thing to do. We'll keep on trusting because it's the right thing to do. But the enemy would have done some damage to us, his people. So I want us to just glean something today. If you hear nothing else, that the enemy shakes, the enemy sifts, but God prunes. God will prune circumstances and situations. He'll even prune people out of our lives. Relationships that are toxic, he'll prune them. But there'll be times where there'll be a situation and God wants you to reconcile, but the enemy will come and shake and destroy. So let's be of a church, let's be a body that will recognize the difference. I'm going to try and get through the scriptures that I've read and just bring one or two comments, because what I say has very little significance, but what God's word says, hopefully that will illuminate something new and fresh to us as we join together. It says, you are already clean because of the word. Now, to be clean is to be pruned. When you look at the word, it is to prune, it's to cut off. And as I've said before, when you get a branch that starts to die on the end and you cut that piece of the branch off, you clean it. You're cleaning it. If there's a diseased part of the branch, you cut it off and it cleans it. We're already clean. We're talking to God's people here. There's a difference between what happens in the world and what happens through the word to his children. And we're talking to us, his children. We are the branches. He is the vine. In the Old Testament, it talks about the olive. And it talks of olive tree and the root. And it talks about a branch being grafted in. And you know your Bible. You know that the Israel was God's people. And we, the Gentiles, have been grafted in. We've been able to soak up the nourishment from the root. There's so many mixed metaphors in Scripture. But if we take the time to listen to what God says, we'll understand what it is to be fruitful, what it is to be clean. We'll understand what it is to be challenged. We'll understand what it is to be changed. We'll understand when the enemy comes around and he shakes us because he's trying to sift us. And we'll understand when God is pruning us. And when God prunes, is so we can be more fruitful, more blessed, more encouraged. You know, cancer isn't from God, is it? The enemy comes to shake us, and so often we can just accept something. Now, there are many good Christians that have died through illness, isn't there? There's many good Christian men and women that have disabilities. Yes? That doesn't mean God loves us any less, does he? You see, in eternity we have that hope. The world doesn't have that hope. So I'm not saying that every time we pray we'll see a miracle. But what I am saying is God is able. And when we look at this portion of scripture, there's things in our life that God wants to remove. He goes on in verse 4 to say, "Remain in me as also I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me. Must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And one of the things there is, we already know this. So often we try to do something ourselves. And God says, no, lean on me. Take my yoke upon you. Cast your burdens upon me. And so often in life, we're programmed to be self-sufficient. Me, myself, and I. I can do this. I can do that. And God says, no, I want you to walk with me. I will guide you. I will help you. But there's time through the programming of from earliest childhood right through our adult lives that we feel inferior if we can't do something that someone else can do. Well, maybe God's asking you to call upon someone else to hold up your left arm and hold up your right arm so that the battle can be won. See, we can't do this on our own. We need to remain in God. That's why it's important to not just to come to church so that we have a big gathering. We come to church so that we can be encouraged, we can be corrected, we can be directed, we can be part of a bigger body, we can be encouraged to say, I'm going to keep on going. That Monday morning when I get up, I have the rest of the day ahead of me if the Lord wills. Father God, I know that you have a hope and a plan and a purpose for me. And we come together to be reminded of that. When we're on our own, that's when the enemy comes along and says, did God really say? It goes right back to Genesis. Did God really say? And there's times when we're feeling vulnerable, I suggest that we could say, I'm not sure. Am I really his child? Does he really forgive me? Is he really going to empower me to do that? I don't feel that I can do this. Good. That's why God says remain in me, because we, together with Christ in the center of our plans and purposes, need to be encouraged to remain in him, remain in his fellowship, remain in his graces. Remain in me as I also remain in you. That's a promise from Christ. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. In verse 5 it says this, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. There's the promise. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. So every time God prunes you, it's so that you can be more fruitful. That's good news. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's an encouraging word. But it is encouraging, isn't it? Apart from me, you can't do anything. It's when we step out of God's plan, out of his purpose, that we fail. But if we're in God's plan, in his purpose, we won't fail. Even when parts of our life seems to be failing because God is pruning us, if we've discerned it and God is cutting that relationship off, God is cutting that avenue of influence off, God is bringing you into a new situation in your life, if it's God doing that, he's pruning you so you can be more fruitful, not less. But the enemy comes along to rob, steal and destroy. We need to ask God to give us the discernment for that. In verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into fire and burned. In other words, it's useless. It's good for nothing. When you look at the vines that are cut, you know, that vine wood is, it just collapses. It's no good for fuel. It's not good for anything. It's just burnt up. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, be careful here because this portion of scripture has been manipulated and misused over the years. It's not about saying if I say something, I ask for it, God's going to give me it. When we look through scripture, it says, if you have a right standing with me, if you give, you'll receive righteousness, a right standing. If you forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you give out of a heart of generosity, not wanting to expect riches so you can spend it on our own lusts, the Bible says. But if you do out of a heart of generosity, ask of me and it will be given. You see, there's some things we need to do in order to see the fulfillment of this prayer. However, there's still truth in that, because there's things we pray for we may not see until eternity. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for them. There's healing that will manifest the other side of the cross. There's joy that we can experience. Now, the Bible talks about heaven on earth. We can experience heaven now as well as heaven eternal. But we need to be careful and discern, is God pruning us or is Satan shaking us, sifting us? This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So God's plan for me and you. Sometimes you may ask, God, what's your will for my life that you bear much fruit? Is one of them, isn't it? That you become more fruitful. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. There's a promise. Now remain in my love. Jesus is encouraging us, his church. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this. Let's stop it. So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Christ in you, the hope of glory. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. When we talk about fruitfulness, we can think, well, it's having children. Children are a blessing. Mothers and fathers, they are. At 3 o'clock in the morning, they are. When you're trying to get ready for church, they are. When they grow up and they're teenagers, they're a blessing. That's why we need the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Create in me a clean heart and help me, Lord, to have a right spirit towards my children. They are a blessing. So we can look at children as being fruit. And that's true. We can look at when we preach the gospel and someone responds, we can say that's fruitfulness. Yes, that's true. But when Jesus speaks about fruitfulness, he's not just encouraging us to be of sound mind. He's not just encouraging us to read his word, but to digest his word. He's encouraging us to be more Christ-like. You see, when there's less of you and there's more of him, then we become more fruitful. When we look through the Beatitudes, when we look through the gifts that God, the grace gifts God's given us, love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger. It doesn't keep wrongs, yes? When we look at patience and virtue, they're all fruits. And here, I believe, Jesus is telling us that, you know, we're to love one another, that's to produce fruit. That's to be fruitful. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. We have the privilege of having the Old Testament and the New Testament, yeah? The New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Without the Old Testament law, we wouldn't know what sin is. Without the New Testament grace, we wouldn't be forgiven of that sin. So that's fruitfulness in itself. But the enemy will come along, especially in our day and age, and say, did God really say? Just as the serpent did in Genesis, did God really say? And there's a subtlety. The world tends to portray the devil, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, for that's what his name is really, the accuser of the brethren, as this ugly, horned, red, long-tailed beast. Yes? That's a subtlety of the enemy. Actually, the devil is beautiful. He's beautiful. He is fine-looking. He deceives with his words, but we don't realize it. You see, when we start to listen to the lie of the enemy, that's when the one that comes to rob, steal, and destroy can start to shake our lives. Start to shake our lives. That's why when in scripture it's important to understand the parable of the house that's built on the rock and the house that's built on the sand. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because when the wind of adversity comes, when the shaking comes, you see, if we've built our house on the rock, God might come and put some double glazing in to improve things, but the devil will come along to shake that house, to shake your faith, to shake your family, to shake the church you're in, to shake the business that you're trying to establish, to come into the workplace and shake it violently. And what will happen if you're built on the sand? It will collapse. So that's why it's important to build on the rock. Now, what does this have to do with being pruned? Because I believe that to be pruned, we have to already be in the vine. That means we're already Christians, born again, spirit-filled, sinners saved by grace. Yes? So we're talking to the church here. So we should be on the foundation. But what happens so often is when the shaking comes, it vibrates us to the edge. To the edge. And one thing can blow us over. So get back into the center. Know that we are part of the vine. Know that we get our sustenance from Christ himself. Know that God wants to prune us to make us more fruitful. But remember that we have an enemy. He's our adversary, prowling around looking for that in which he may devour. He wants to sift you. He wants to shake you. Stand firm and resist. I'll get to that if I have time in a moment. In verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go bear fruit. So what's the call on your life? To bear fruit. To be fruitful and even more fruitful. And that means simply allowing God to prune us. That's what it means. Allowing God to prune us so that we can cut off the parts of our life that are dead. The parts of our life that are decaying. The parts of our life that are laying dormant. That he may fertilize and nourish and prune. And the more God prunes us, the more fruitful we will be. Fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. It goes on to say, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. You know, there are times where we don't feel accepted. There are times where in today's society, you'll simply stand for the truth. And you will be maligned, you will be mocked, you'll be despised. But be of good cheer. If Christ is for you, who can be against you? That's why it's encouraging, I believe, to know the difference between the enemy sifting and God pruning. Because the world will say things, but they're just words, aren't they? Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you also. That doesn't sound good news, does it? You see, Jesus always gives us the answer to the question. But you don't understand, Lord. I am suffering. They persecuted me as well. You don't understand. They lied about me. Hang on. They lied about me too also. You don't understand, but this hurts. I hurt as well. But be of good cheer. If you belong to me, you can take your nourishment from me. God will give us what we need when we need it, whether you are well-fed or hungry. That's the good news of the Bible. We have a hope, an eternal hope. They will treat you this way because of my name. The Bible goes on to talk about the love that God has for us. Goes on to talk about that we should love each other. So to be fruitful, just in case I run out of time, to be fruitful is to be more Christ-like. To allow the light of the love of the Lord to shine upon the dark areas in our lives. And you know what? Hopefully this will make sense. You know, the Bible says that what's in darkness will be brought into the light. There are times in our life that we keep a secret, but it's not a secret from God, is it? There's times in our life where we have an illness, but it's not a secret from God, is it? And hopefully it doesn't happen in this church, but I've been in churches where I've been told that I am sick because of my sin. Now there is a little bit of truth in that. There are times where we can take our hand out of God's hand and we suffer the consequences. However, as a child of God, you should say, what sin? Because it was nailed to the cross, wasn't it? Your sin and my sin was nailed to the cross, because we're talking about the church here. But I have been told at times that I do not prosper because I don't give enough finances into God's economy. Well, that's a lie of the enemy, isn't it? God doesn't want our money, although don't stop giving. God doesn't want our money, he wants us. He wants us, doesn't he? Because when we give ourselves to him, when we understand we are being pruned because we get our sustenance from the root, we'll want to give. We won't be compelled to out of a desire to be healed or a desire to get on in life or to be in leadership. We'll give because we have a relationship with the Father. Why do I say that? I say that because there are times where the enemy will shake you in such a way that you will not share some of the disappointments in your life with anyone else. And although God is able, while you are asleep, to manifest his presence in you and through you, he's called you to be part of a body. He's called you to be part of a body. I'm just one small part, you're one small part, but together we make up the body, Christ being the head. So I want to suggest to you that one of the ways to resist the enemy when he shakes your life is to speak out the very thing that God is calling you to speak out. If you have an illness, you know, what is it when we do this? We talk about cancer, right? Forgive me, I'm not being flippant. We'll say, so-and-so's got cancer. We don't want to say the word because it kills, doesn't it? It destroys. My sister is a half-full person, not half-empty. Right? God is able to heal you completely, isn't he? But even if he doesn't, she's still going to glory. But we don't like to have conversations like that. So we take the word and we go, I've got a terminal illness. I've got a terminal illness. I'm going to go to glory, but God is able to heal me now. And I'm speaking it out because I've been pruned, not sifted. The enemy's not going to rob me of my voice. And I don't want the enemy to rob you of your voice. So if there's a situation, there's a story in the Bible where a man comes up, he's blind, and he comes up to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, what do you want? And I'm behind him going, he's blind. He's blind, he wants his sight. If Mike rocks up here in his wheelchair, I can't assume he wants to get up and get out of his wheelchair. He might come just to bless me. True? Because Mike is who he is because God's called him to be who he is. And whether he walks upright or he stays in the chair, he's still a child of God. And I say that because we have a good relationship. So don't let the enemy sift you into believing that you can't ask God for a miracle, because you can. Don't let the enemy persuade you that you're not good enough, because you are good enough, because his blood was shed for you. Listen to what was said to Simon in Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon, Jesus is talking here. Satan has asked to sift you, to sift all of you as wheat. Let me see if that will cross-reference. Yeah, there we go, Amos, where it talks about the shaking. There are times that God shakes, but when we look through the New Testament, God does not shake us. He prunes us. It's the enemy that sifts us, as of wheat. But I have prayed for you. See, the Bible says that he intercedes for us. That's why we need to know our scripture. He intercedes for us. I have prayed you. He's still praying for you. The enemy is a liar, and he will say guilty, and Jesus will say innocent, covered by my blood. Repent and I will forgive. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen the brothers. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm giving you, I'm empowering you. Now go and empower others. Go and strengthen others with the words that I've given you. God's given us his word. That word is sharper than a two-edged sword. He's given you that word. It's not just platform preachers, you know, that God blesses with this verbal stuff. He's blessed you. He's given you his word. So when the devil comes to shake you, shake him off. Shake him off. Let me whiz through some of these scriptures here. In Luke 22, I've read that one. So let's go on Matthew 7:16. By their fruit you will recognize them. This is talking about false teachers, false apostles. It's talking about men of leadership. Jesus says, by their fruits you will know them. If I say to you, as the pastor of this church, I care for you and I love you in the Lord, and if there's anything I can do for you, then please ring me. And then you ring me and I tell you to get lost. Would you say that I'm fruitful? No! You'd say I was a liar. You see, Jesus says, by their fruits you will recognize them. So if we speak the truth and we live the truth, then we know that God's going to prune us so that we can live more of the truth and speak more of the truth. So I want you to understand that there is a recognizing, a discerning of the spirits by their fruits. Scripture says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not hold a crusade and see many miracles? Did I not sow thousands of pounds into your kingdom? Depart from me before, because I do not know you. The word know is an intimacy. It's to know God. Not to know about him, but to know him. So you need to know that he is your redeemer. You need to know that he is your healer. You need to know that he is your friend. You need to know that you've been adopted into his family. So when the shaking comes, you can discern it and walk away from it and just say, Lord, you create in me a clean heart. You prune me, Father God. You do good to me. If we continue in the Psalms, and the psalmist says this, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. There are times that God will discipline us. There are times where he will prune us and it will hurt. There'll be a situation, there'll be a relationship that we're fond of, and God will prune it out. And if it wasn't for the fact that we'd gone astray, we wouldn't understand his grace. But if we will discern the difference between the shaking of the enemy and the pruning of the Lord, then we will be fruitful. So if God does something in your life, ask him if it's him or is it the enemy trying to rob, steal and destroy. So it's trying to bring a balance for us as church, which is sifting and which is pruning. But the pruning is so that we can be more fruitful. Staying with the psalmist, create in me, O God, a clean heart, a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing, underlined there, highlighted, a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach the transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Saviour. Goes on to talk about singing of his righteousness. And when you look through the story that this psalm represents, that David messed up. He messed up, but he got to a point where he said, Lord, prune me, shape me, encourage me, rebuke me that I may be more fruitful. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Let's call our worship team back, because I'm not too sure if I'll get through all these scriptures. But I have more of a chance if they're already standing at the front. We like to start on time, I like to finish on time, unless the Lord says differently. To the Jews who had been believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. So if we're really his disciples, we'll hold to his teachings and we'll allow him to prune us. But we'll discern when the enemy's attacking us. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If we want to know what truth is, then truth is this. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we are rooted in him, we're connected to him, we're rooted in good soil, and we will produce good fruit. In Romans 11:17, if some of the branches have been broken off, that you, a wild olive shoot, he's talking about the church now, may be grafted in among others. Now share in that nourishing sap. God wants us to share in his goodness, so that we are ready to be pruned, ready to be encouraged.
ready to understand. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone that he may devour. Resist him. How do you do that? Glad you asked. Standing firm in the faith. Not standing firm in the church you belong to. Not standing firm on the things that you've done and I've done. Not standing firm on the things we've achieved. Not standing firm on the money that we've given. Not standing firm on our own righteousness, but standing firm in the faith. Because you and I, we know that the family of believers throughout the world, they're undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you and me to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, steadfast. That's good news, isn't it? To him be the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:23. I have the right to do anything, you may say. But not everything is beneficial. God wants to bless us, but not everything we do is going to bless us. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And it goes on. I don't have time to explain it. Conclusion of this message is simply what I said at the beginning. The devil sifts, God prunes. So if you're feeling a little bit of pain in your life, it could simply be the Lord pruning you so you can be more fruitful. Are you feeling the strain and the struggle of the economy at the moment? God could be pruning you so you can be more fruitful. Are you feeling the aches and pains in your body, yet faith is rising up? God could be pruning you. Is there something going on that seems violent? That seems to be aggressive? And you're not quite sure, well, maybe it's the devil trying to sift you. Ask God for discernment. Ask God's people to pray with you, that we may be who God has called us to be. Revelation 12:11 says this: they triumphed over him. Who are they? They're the saints that are in glory. They triumphed over him. Same for us. We triumph over him. How? This is the enemy. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink back from life, from death. We have been given the keys of the kingdom. We have been given the grace of God. We can receive his blessing so that we can be a blessing. We are part of his body. But God wants to prune us so that we can be more fruitful. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy. Father, we thank you that you have a plan for us, and that is to prosper us and not to harm. Amen.